The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay, hi everybody. Good evening to you here from Finland. Wednesday is one of our busier days, though, compared to all of the, that's been going on in Gemini. It doesn't feel all that busy. So, Science of Triangles tonight, and earlier we had the triangles meditation, just the normal triangles meditation. And, you know, we're fortunate. DK continues discussing that very important diagram. Let's just, you know, there's not too many of us here tonight. We pretty much, Australia and New Zealand, it's, you'd have to be kind of exceptional to be waking up at 3 or 4 in the morning. But, you know, there are those who do it. I remember driving through the night to get to one of those exact time meditations, full moon meditations, before the days of internet. And there's something to it. So let's just tune in on each other and with each other, rather. And we realize that we're, in a way, under the guidance of Master DK's thought. And it is, you know, really a profound thought. As we study the esoteric sciences together and create one unified mental field on which the higher wisdom, higher will, intuition can perhaps impinge. That's what we're doing. And learning, you know, gradually, slowly to think and to act esoterically, as if the esoteric understanding were real, you know, which we do believe it to be, you know, we believe it to be that. So we'll work, you know, on this fundamental diagram and see what DK says about it. Let's see here. Just got to be able to find it, huh? You may remember it. The emanating energy pretty much indicates the monad. The evocative force, the soul space, where two lines of energy are going to meet before long. The magnetic center, it is generally considered to be, in terms of the constitution of man, the personality. The distributing center, whatever physicalization, all these energies pass through, and it can be, as DK says, even great centers like the solar logos can be the distributing center. Then there's a rising again to the evocative force as man begins to respond to the evocation of the soul, or the invocation, and then man is evoked and then passes along that line again. And then we have the return via the Antikorana to the emanating center, the monad. But there's many ways we can look at this. It doesn't just have to be in the constitution of man that we see and understand it. I've got a lot going on here. Let's see. Right. So, the distributing center can be a solar system, regarded as a cosmic center, in which case the triangle above it would be superior. A planet, which is a systemic center, always there's a kind of a triangle hovering above the fourth point. Just as there is in the human personality, the triangle of the lower mind, astral body, and etheric body, hovering above the dense physical body. That's one way of looking at that. You know, another way of looking, let's think of this. Here's the atmic vehicle when it does get coordinated. Here is the Buddhic vehicle when it does get coordinated, largely after the third initiation. Here's the higher mental vehicle, and it hovers above the soul, really. If we were to look at this, you see, if we were to go higher, we would see that it's this triangle is hovering above the soul, and this would be then the distributing vehicle. Now look at the threefold monad, hovering above the entire triad considered as one thing, and the same thing goes. Here's a triple superior force hovering above a distributing center, which in this case is the spiritual triad. So it's a general principle. The distributing center can be a solar system regarded as a cosmic center, a planet, which is a systemic center. And, you know, esoteric astrology is full of that kind of diagram. One of the planetary centers, like, let's say, Shambhala or hierarchy, above referred to, for instance, a nation also, possibly, or an individual, or one of the centers in the human etheric body. We always have to look for that triangle hovering above a distributing center. Basically, so he's going to kind of deal with this and help us get our thoughts in order. Now, some of you have joined in on the Identify as Being, the third series, where I'm releasing all constraints and letting non-dualistic thought fly. I just want to say that that's one kind of thought, and it pretty well deals with the great generalities and not the specifics. You know, it's right in the spiritual triad, in the abstract mind, and sometimes touching the intuitive level. But when we're doing the kind of study we're doing right here, we are into that part of Master DK, which deals with a secondary trait we call meticulous entirety. And sometimes people call it the ray of ridiculous entirety. Anyway, it takes in all these details. So both things are possible, you know. You can learn all this stuff about esotericism, and one day it'll really come in handy, and maybe sooner than later. Or you can learn also about the great principles that lie behind all these details. You can learn about infinity. You can learn about different kinds of infinity. You can learn about what is finite and what is infinite and what is as small as it can be, the infinitesimal. And you can learn about the absolute, not that we can really say anything about it, you know. We can only say that it exists as Parabrahman and as the source of all, but how that source activates the great deity or its universe or whatever, we don't know. And we don't, you know, maybe we don't have to know, but we're thinking in that direction. So I'm just offering here, I'm saying we have a duality going. All the details that Master DK gives us, amazing. And he just says, hey, look, I'm giving you the ABCs of these things. Just the ABCs. And we can also look at the great philosophical consideration of how this universe, or any of an infinitudinous series of universes, came to be. It requires different faculties of the mind to do this, and I'm just trusting that the sincere student, sincere and patient students of these matters will get value out of approaching in both directions. Okay, I've just made Tulia an organizer over on the other side too. And we have our full group of those who support the process. So, okay, so now, Master DK, what we're going to do here is, here's the archetypal diagram, which I put in another document to make it easier to go back and forth, if possible, and then he's going to say a few things. A close study of these energies. What happened? Somebody is... No. Tulia, we have to turn you off. You had your microphone on, and it was echoing. So I think you can unmute yourself later when you want to talk. Okay. A close study of these energy streams will demonstrate two major movements. A downflow of energy from the emanating center. Well, it goes like this. Okay. Eventually, all these things will be two-way streets, just the way we discuss the future relationship between Shambhala, the hierarchy, and humanity. Everything is reciprocal and going in both directions. But for the time being, this is the way it seems to go. Right. So a downflow of energy from the emanating center, this leads to its merging with the center energy of a center of reception. And notice the word, and its consequent qualification. Now, you all remember Master DK saying, hey, the soul is the quality of life. So the being content of the monad is very great. I mean, it presently, because it is so low at the present time on the cosmic physical plane, it also is dealing with quality. But if you go to the very center of the monad, you're going to find isness, being, and not quality. And I just want to make a drastic statement, and then, you know, we can ponder it, that being has no quality. Being is unqualified. But when the energy of the monad descends to this second center, a receptive center, as DK says, it becomes qualified. So, pure being then is given one of the seven qualities in itself. It has no quality per se. That's a very radical statement, because what that means is that all things are equal in being. Not high, not low, not up, not down, not east, nor west, whatever. Just because a thing is, and if it is, it means it's perceived. To be is to be perceived. It's an old idealistic mantra. And many, you know, they don't like that mantra particularly. But to be is to be perceived. I go with that. And all of these perceptions are equal. All of these things are absolutely equal, not in quality, not in magnitude, not in scope, but in isness. They are equal in isness simply because they are. Now, that's really important, because Our mind is complex, especially our concrete mind, and we want to be able to say all kinds of things about all kinds of things. But the isness of things is their primordial nature, being. And that's, and somehow, you know, we have to meditate ourselves into that realization. So it's merging with the energy of a center of reception and its consequent qualification. Then its transmission to and its evocative effect upon a second point or focal point of reception. It looks like this might be, let's just see if it is, you know, because I stand to be corrected here as much as anybody. This is the, okay, this might be considered the magnetic center. I'm thinking it is. Okay, so let's take a look at that. Maybe the something's going on, someone's on that shouldn't be. Wait a second, let's see what's going on here. No, Tuya, you gotta, somehow that's just switching on. Okay, so this leaves one side of the triangle as yet completed, uncompleted. Now, if we go here, basically the probability is the second center of reception is this. In the constitution of man, it stands for the personality, but but so far, no connection between the personality and the emanating center, at least, although it shows the completed process here, one side of the triangle is not yet complete, and it won't be until we can build the antikarana. Okay. The three types of energy, or rather one energy and two forces, because that's kind of interesting, isn't it, that even the soul center, from the perspective of the emanating center, is considered a force. The force is always, I think we discussed this, someone brought it up and pointed out a good paragraph on that. A force is always secondary and is guided by an energy. So we've got one energy here and two forces. The three types of energy, or rather one energy and two forces, proceed with the following activities. So let's see if we can make this out. Evocative energies, evocative energizing of a second triangle. Now, basically, this second triangle doesn't exist yet. It's going to be brought into being through this magnetic center. But right now, it's almost as if the only things you have in this diagram is this line and this line, and that's it. So far, this line and this line. We haven't brought the lower center, the lower triangle into being yet. The evocative energizing of a second triangle, which allows more manifestation, because this is how the monad makes its way down into the densest type of matter, which has to be spiritualized and made adaptable to the second major solar system, whereas it doesn't start out that way. And the pouring down one side of this reflected triangle, it appears to be the right-hand side, into the evoked expression on the physical plane. And that's this, pouring down from one side of the triangle into this is the evoked expression on whatever stands for a physical plane. It can be a solar logos, a cosmic logos, a galaxy, whatever it is. It can be a very high thing, but it is denser than these other three centers. And that's the main thing we have to understand, is its greater density and the fact that redeeming energies are coming from above, and they're going to redeem whatever this distributing center may be. Okay. It producing manifestation, quality, and activity. Okay, so manifestation is at the root of it, and activity is the personality aspect, but it's already carrying quality. And there's the energizing of permanent atoms here, which evoke a physical form, at least in the case of man. So quality is coming from the evocative center, going into the active center, and it's going to produce manifestation. Right now, the emanating center is out of the picture. Now, you can pretty well say that about us, too. We're dealing with our physical nature. We're dealing with our personality. And we're applying to the soul. And there's a kind of an interchange going on here between the soul and the personality and the dense physicality of us. But the monad is out of the picture for a while. It may have started everything going, and we wouldn't have a causal body without the monad doing its thing. You know, let's just say, here it is. From the highest part of the monad comes a straight line right down into the very center of the causal body. And that line of energy, along with the solar angelic energy of the Buddhic plane descending onto the higher mental plane, will produce this causal body. But without the monad and without the solar angel, at least in our system, we're not going to have that causal body. We didn't have the solar angel in our previous moon chain, or maybe in the previous solar system, and eventually the causal body was built, but built in a different way, which DK goes into in terms of cosmic fire. And then this forms a reservoir of descending and balancing energies within the distributing center. So this is DK's description of the following activities of the three types of energy. A secondary triangle is evoked. There's an expression, a manifest expression on the physical plane, pouring down one side of a reflected triangle. Manifestation is produced, and it carries quality and activity, but maybe not yet pure being that one can do anything with. And then there's a reservoir here of descending and balancing energies, all fed by a higher triangle. Now let's see what else he says, because he's, you know, he's done a lot of good for us by describing this. We last time we tried to describe it, and we somewhat did, but it's better to have the master's words. Some light on this most abstruse subject, and let's believe him. Let's believe him when we realize that it's a little difficult to understand the entirety of the process. I mean, there's so many things going on in the descent of the monad to the soul, and then the creation of the personality, all those appropriations as they are discussed in esoteric psychology too. It can take years to reappropriate personality vehicles before you're ready to be born again. Lots is going on, and he's just dealing with the generalities here. So some light on this most abstruse subject can be gained if the student will attempt to realize that the above diagram and subsequent statement describes his own involutionary and evolutionary history. Now, we've been saying that, and I think we can see it. So we want to know where we came from, you know, not entirely. That in itself is a huge subject, which I'm trying to deal with against the rebellion of the lower mind in the identify as being group. The lower mind will rebel. Master Moria warns against it. He tells us that there will be a rebellion of Manas at various points along the way of transformation. rebellion of Manus. That's why he says when you're making a suggestion, he's very big on the power of suggestion. So he's basically saying, look, don't tell anybody you're suggesting something, because their Manus will rebel. But we see that that's often the case. Anyway, our own involutionary and evolutionary histories here, it depicts the interplay between his monadic life, soul energy, and personality force. Notice how we have a triplicity, life, energy, and force. As these three focus on the physical plane, producing manifestation and appearance, which is basically our distributing center, basically the dense physical body. But those are the three words, life of the monad, energy of the soul, and force of the personality. And when DK tells us we don't know what life is, well, sometimes it comes out as vitality, but at other times it is that which sustains everything, you know, being itself. So it depends on the context, what definition we're going to use. But just remember those three things: monadic life, soul energy, personality force. Okay, now what's the next thing that happens? The first thing that happened up here was kind of the Roman numeral one, a downflow of energy from the emanating center. That was the downflow. Okay, now, you know, what goes down must come up. And that's especially true in esotericism. So, next step is a return flow of this qualified active energy to its emanating source or the highest point of the major triangle. Well, I'd say, you know, whoa, that's not what I want. Okay, excuse me, it just takes me a second here to get some kind of, yeah, that's it. Okay, so, okay, I'm doing my best, but need a little help here. All right. And get rid of the underline and copy it. Okay. So, a return to the monad, right? That's what we're going to be dealing with now. The return to the monad, or whatever represents the monad in any triangle above a distributing point. That's what we're going to do. Okay. And I don't know which one's which, but we'll see. So this produces, in other words, we're going to get back up here. And when we're a sixth degree initiate, we really find ourselves focusing at a point of tension following the real ascension, which is the monad on some subplane of the monadic plane. And maybe if we're like the Christ or the Buddha, we've even broken through that and we're focusing within the sea of fire upon the very highest or logoic plane, this. But most of us at the sixth degree would be focusing here. Then somehow we break through that. I don't know whether the temple here is broken, the temple of Ezekiel. You know, he doesn't go into that too much, but he knows, he does go into the fact that it has to be broken. And the flying essence of being repolarizes itself at a point of tension upon the logoic plane and prepares to make its big journey on the way of higher evolution. Okay, so return flow. The completion of the two triangles, the real and the unreal. Well, this is how he uses those terms. And, you know, obvious, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, that the real is the higher triangle and the unreal is the lower, just a reflection. The building of the Antikorana is an aspect of this completion. And so, let's see if I can look at this. When this Antikorana is built, a triangle will exist down here, and it will be the lower correspondence of that which exists up here. Or maybe with the triangle extends far enough, this will be the higher triangle, and the spiritual triad will be, as DK sometimes says, the personality of the monads. Hence, it's a lower triangle. Okay, the building of the Antikorana is an aspect of this completion of the two triangles. Now, we've got the diamond, and we realize how connected with Capricorn is this diamond. The highest type of people and the lowest are found in Capricorn, and it's the jewel in the lotus and Vulcan and the hardest of all signs and the hardest of all substances, the diamond, you know. So there's something invariable about this process. So this concerns the final building of the later stages of the Antikorana by the initiate. And there is a formula inside Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, and you can twist it around several ways. He tells you to do that, but he says it's called Sun Black Antikorana. Or Antikorana Sun Black, you know, you have to arrange things the way they do, should be arranged. I like Black Antikorana Sun, personally. It tells the story of how that high monad eventually withdraws the Antikorana. From a state of ignorance or blackness, the Antikorana rises, reaches towards the height, touches the heights, and is withdrawn into a synthesis in the monad. Anyway, we'll study Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, and I've written a lot about that. It's on Makara. Should be there, and I don't know whether it's verbal or written, but something's there to explain that. Now, the final building of the Antikorana, it would go all the way up to the monad. So it starts here. It would continue towards the Buddhic permanent atom, but not make it, because it's just too high, the Buddhic permanent atom. It would continue towards the atmic permanent atom, but not make it. It's too high. And eventually, it will be made, and then it will go into the monad. I'm not sure, you know, which point in the monad it has to touch, whether active intelligence and wisdom first and then will, or whether, according to your monadic ray, it can go there. And there are different vehicles along the way that have to be destroyed. There's something on the atmic plane that's like a higher causal body. And before you can be released into your monad, that higher causal body has to be destroyed. And then before you can be released into the sea of fire, the triangle on this temple of Ezekiel has to be destroyed. So those are some of the higher dynamics that DK hasn't really... He's hinted at them, okay, but he hasn't really elaborated, maybe in the coming teaching, and who knows what the last 30 years, I don't know. But we want to be sure we can recognize it when it does come and promote its dissemination in humanity. Okay, so the final building of the Antikorana, which as far as we're concerned is the absorption into the monad, but of course it keeps going. So there's an Antikorana between the Earth and Venus, and all of this is Antikorana, all of it's Antikorana, on and on and on and on, until whatever we are at that point reaches the very height of the universe. Now, that takes a long time as time goes. But what we will discover at that point is that we are not the emanation we thought we were. If you tell someone, hey, you're not the emanation you thought you were, what will they say? You'll discover you're the whole thing, you know. So that's where we get Vedanta and Parabrahm and Brahmanism into this way of thought. And you drop one limited perception of yourself after another until you find out what you really are. And it's all done via the Antikarana. The final Antikarana will be absorbed into the final great being, and that will be the predecessor of universal pralaya. And then who knows what, but something very infinite, of course. Okay, so now going on, the transmission of force from the reflected or secondary triangle in the three worlds of human endeavor, or in the five worlds in the case of the evolution of the members of the hierarchy, because they add to it. Their planes of evolution involve the Buddhic plane and the Atmic plane, so that's five worlds, is into the same focal point on the baseline of the higher triangle, which received the original emanating energy. The original emanating energy. And you know what that means. I think you can figure it out. In other words, after we're ready to aspire and ascend and contact the soul, then it all is directed into this center. Okay. And this is the time for real soul infusion of the magnetic center to occur. So whatever we are down here, we are the prodigal son. We wake up one day and then spend lifetimes going to our source. Our source is where the monad descended. It's the soul area, and we come to the soul area. Then comes the infusion by the soul of this magnetic center. And remember, you cannot build the Antikarana and you cannot reach the monad unless you are a very soul-infused personality. I think that's really, really important, because unless the soul infuses the personality, you just cannot project toward the monad. So the greater the infusion, the greater the success in the projection. So try to remember that. Try to remember that. It's the same focal point on the baseline of the higher triangle, which received the original emanating energy. And so this is, okay, I see what my problem is. So, no, this is it. Right. So, this is the evocative center. What's going on here? Which is the soul center, which then infuses the personality to a great degree until it is ready to project into the spiritual triad and towards the monad. I hope that's clear. It's basically a return. Instead of going like this in the beginning, like a S, it goes like this. Tum, tum, and then up. That's the return. And many of us are involved right now with that, as we're attempting the early stages of Antikarana building and projecting towards the spiritual triad and into towards the monad. Okay, now a little more. There are consequently two major points of importance in the higher triangle. Let's see why he says this. The emanating point of positive conditioning energy, that's, you know, positive electricity there. It's a monadic in the microcosmic sense, but it can be one of the stars of the Great Bear, or it could be a cosmic logos, or it could be a one about whom not may be said, using a cosmic, it could be anything along the way. Right now, it's practical for us to just think about making our personality more soul-infused. And basically, that just means having a more loving, unified, harmonious relationship with our environment. and of course the many people in it. So there's the emanating point of positive conditioning energy, that's the top one. The point which receives into itself both the higher energy and the lower forces. I just pointed that out. Maybe I don't need to point it out again, but here it is. This one. This point is called the soul aspect of the triangle. Now, that's what we really have to remember. It's not all that complicated. And it's always the registering agent of consciousness. The soul is consciousness, the soul is light, we've been told. It is therefore the producer of crises. And, you know, the crises of the soul. Let's see if I can show you. You'll find it in the same book here, you know, but basically it's Esoteric Astrology, is it? 473, or is it not? It's going to be one of these things here. The crisis of incarnation, the crisis of orientation, the crisis of initiation. Now, there are soul crises in different ways. The crisis of renunciation, that's crucifixion, crisis of the battlefield, the soul gets the upper hand, crisis of the birthplace. Finally, the second aspect comes to birth within the personality, crisis of the burning ground. That's the final burning ground, liberation, Leo. So really, on page 473 here of Esoteric Astrology, get these crises in mind. They are really important. It is the producer of crisis because the point where several energies meet is the source of crisis in the outer life. Okay? The point where, I'm not going to fuss with this to make it more beautiful or more lined up. I don't want to waste the time, right? But we get the idea, you know. And, you know, now I'll just pretend like I didn't say what I said before. And Christ of Incarnation, individuals, and Cancer, Cardinal. Anyway, you get the idea. Just go down the list. This is one of the best descriptions of the crises of the soul. And there's another place where Libra, Capricorn, and some other sign are discussed. And Libra is not here, but it's an important... the big battle of the Kurukshetra was fought out in Libra. That's what we're told by the Tibetan. Okay. So what have we got here so far? We've got the soul aspect of the triangle, which is the evocative center. And wherever a lot of energies are coming together, we've got a crisis. What is a crisis? A potential turning point. Because we have a realization about which way we might go or not. And what did Master DK? If you're not having a crisis, why not? Why aren't you having a crisis? Because he knows that the crisis is the way to grow, you know? It's the way to grow. And I'm sure most of us have crises that are, so we think, uninvited, and they just come about, you know. But we should not necessarily shun them, because it might tell us that, after all, we have something really potential going on in our life and in our chart. Yeah, well, I've done it. I can't stand stuff that's out of alignment, you know. Anyway, it's getting closer. So, a little more, not much. These crises are crises of initiation, and this is true of men as individuals, of nations. Has any nation taken the first initiation? And of humanity as a whole. So I had written down that initiation is taken within the causal body. The crises of initiation are enacted within the vehicle of the soul, which is the heart center of the monad, or emanating center. So, you know, the cross in the heart is pretty much where all of these initiations are taken. The overshadowing triangle is the factor which produces, by its flow into and out of the secondary triangle, and this sounds like a hierarchical statement, the moments in time and the events in space which lead to those episodes in the life of the soul, wherein force becomes energy and energy becomes life. It's the kind of thing Master K.H. might have said, or even Master Serapis. You know, he has those very profound and somewhat enigmatical statements. Let's look at this. The overshadowing triangle is producing in the, out of the second triangle the moments in time and the events in space. In other words, your horoscope has to be right to take an initiation. And the events in space, you have to be in the right relations, which lead to those episodes in the life of the soul. Taking initiation is special for the soul. Wherein force, now this is the ascent. Wherein three becomes two and two becomes one, okay? Wherein force becomes energy and energy becomes life. In the lower initiations, I'm saying here that force becomes energy, and in the higher initiations, beyond the third, you know, initiation 4, 5, 6, energy becomes life. Energies can be differentiated, but in a way, and we have to work that out, the life aspect is not really any ray aspect. It's a non-differentiable essence. Anyway, such a momentous event or crisis is now taking place in the life of humanity. Today we call this, you know, the burning ground, the Kurukshetra. We call it preparation for the first initiation. More along this line I may not here dictate. The subject is too vast, abstruse, and complicated. And I guess we get an idea that that is how it is. I have, however, indicated enough to throw some light on this intricate science. So he summarizing what I've said. Emanating evocative and magnetic energies are the three types of energy from the superior triangle, 1, 2, 3. And as we're facing the triangle, it's the top, the left, and the right. Receptive, distributing, and critical force are the three types of energy distributed by the inferior or reflected triangle. And I suppose each one of these has its own kind of, maybe critical force is at the magnetic center, maybe distributing force is at the very lowest point, and receptive energy, receptive center is at the evocative center. Perhaps so we could work it out, but this way. Critical, distributing, receptive, maybe that way. The two points of energy are shared by both triangles along the baseline. When the work is completed, the baseline is formed by two blended streams of energy, which embody the energy of both triangles. So monadic energy is flowing. Monadic energy has basically created the soul and personality, and then from that created personality and its vehicles comes a return to the soul and then an infusion. And we're all working on that right now. One point of energy, the magnetic point. Now, you know which one that is. That's the personality point here. It's operative relatively early. One point of energy, the magnetic point, produces involution and outgoing during the process of forming the lower triangle, for which it is largely responsible. Whoa, I'm always doing that, and that's not correct. For which it is, okay, now I always am in the same pickle here. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this into purple and then copy it. So, two points are shared by both triangle. Right. One point of energy, the magnetic point, produces involution and outgoing during the process of forming the lower triangle, And let's just say to form the lower triangle is involutionary. In a later stage, as a blend of energies induces return of all energies to the emanating source, this is Antikarana building. From the soul-infused personality to the monad. At the same time, students must bear in mind that owing to the great illusion, it may appear to them that the triangles are incomplete during the evolutionary process, at least from our limited point of view. But the fact is, however, that in the eternal now, all three sides of the triangle exist and persist. The only problem is found in the consciousness, our limited consciousness, but not in reality. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just, let's see what I've got here. 1, 2, 3. Oh, maybe that's not going to work. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, there we go. All right. So now we've gone as far as page 463. We've covered a lot of ground here. Maybe you have some questions, some statements while I'm fussing around here. You can think of it. And here it is. This is, I think we're at the end of number, I think we just did number 40, didn't we? I think so. And let's see if I can, yeah, Michael?
Yes, we just did number 40.
Right, okay, very good, thank you. All right, so let me go over here. And we went from 460 to 463, which in terms of the way we make progress is really a big deal. And so this is the end of number 40. And we have the 19th of June, and it's 460 to 463. And next time we begin number 41. And it should be on the 26th. Now that I say, Tui and I will be gone for a little while, a few days. I don't think this will not be affected, but some other things beyond this will, and we'll be letting you know about that. I don't think we can carry our little silver suitcases and do anything where we're going. Okay, so this is number 40. And we start with number 41. All right. So that's it for the moment, friends. And maybe you have some thoughts about these. You know, now we've spent 2 weeks on this diagram. From the emanating to the evocative to the magnetic to the distributing, back to the evocative, back to the magnetic, and with the magnetic fully charged up from all the energies of the soul, then in Antikarana building back to the emanating center and completing that Antikaranic process in this first phase at the sixth initiation and not before. All right, your thoughts, your questions. Thoughts and questions. I think you find it useful because you really see the science underneath it, you know? You see the pattern. And some of the stuff in occultism, it's hard to organize in your mind. But here, he's really gone and done it and given us the way the science of triangles is organized. And we can apply that. We can go, we start rising along the emanative stream, and we can go to what? Planetary centers, Shambhala, for instance. We can go to different planets. We can go to our sun, in which case we'd have like three stars of the Great Bear and our sun. We can go to the next cosmic logos. We can go to the next supercosmic logos or one about whom naught may be said. We can go, where do you go after that? You know, I mean, finally we can go to a galaxy and it'll all be the same. The diamond shape will be upheld. And what can we do in a practical sense? Well, make sure that the soul, that the invocative process to the soul is strong enough, right enough, so there will be an invocation from the personality, and the personality will become soul-infused increasingly. That's our task right now. As potential initiates of the first, second, third degree, whatever we are, we make sure that that baseline is really activated and that we invoke soul energy to fill the personality so that we're in good shape, the correct shape needed to build the antikarana. That's where we are now in terms of being a human being. Okay, your thoughts. It's not that difficult, really. This is not that difficult, and it's clear. I think it's clear. You know, going over it carefully the way we have, I think it's clear. Basically, you're trying to become filled with light, filled with love, and filled with that sense of purpose and the sense of sacrifice to make the purpose happen. That's what we're trying to be filled with here in our own little personality life. That's what we're trying to be filled with. And when we do that, we can return, and via the antikarana, we can start working into the spiritual triad where the masters are focused, and working towards the monad where the very high masters and initiates are focused. Okay, anybody want to say anything? And that includes staff, where we have Tuya, Michael, Joe, and Biel. Okay. Well, you know, don't ever be afraid to speak up, because whatever it is, occultism covers it. I was just thinking about it, you know, the one thing we just cannot be afraid to speak up. You know, we might be say, well, that's a foolish question I'm about to ask, or this statement is really off, or whatever, but that's the only way we're going to learn anything. I think personally, I've been one of those people that's always dared to say stupid things, because I know that I will discover later the degree of stupidity and I'll be straightened out along the way, either through my own understanding or someone else will give me the understanding that is needed. Okay. Well, if not, I think we've covered quite a bit here. And I think the very important section when it comes to the science of triangles, it's really structural. And you can really see where you are and what you're doing. Now, long ago, the soul was built. Long ago, the personality was built. Millions of years ago for us. And now some action has been taken on the physical plane, and we are returning to the place from whence we came. I guess that's the thing to understand. Okay. Well, all right. Just now, let's see. Tomorrow, we'll have a little meditation now, but tomorrow we're going to have our reappearance of the Christ. Then we're very close now to the, that's a morning thing. We're very close to the solstice now. And the solstice here is occurring at 18:54:08 our time. So it's at 3:55 London, not London time, but GMT. So at 2:45, I think about an hour before, if that changes, we will let you know. But Tuya will broadcast a solstice meditation. And I think it will, if it starts at any different time than 2:45 GMT, we'll let you know. But that's the way it looks right now. We need about an hour before the actual solstice moment, which here in Finland is almost 7 o'clock, and in GMT is almost 4 o'clock, 3:54 and 8 seconds. So I think solstice is a real turning point. It is, well, it, you know, we reached the very highest interlude, and it's we have a descent into the third aspect of divinity from the time we have the Cancer solstice, just the way we have an ascent into the higher regions when we reach the Capricorn solstice. It may take a little while, 6 months on either side, but we're still building towards it, you know, embodiment. You might almost say, here's another way of looking at it, that like Aries, Taurus and Gemini are the triangle hovering above Cancer as the distributing manifestational center. That's another way of looking at it, because Aries, Taurus, Gemini are very subjective, he tells us, and Cancer is just so manifestational. So if you're going to make something happen in your life, Cancer, along with Capricorn, really, really good manifestational signs, having so much of the third and the seventh ray. Okay, last chance to say anything or write anything if you... wait a second. Antoinette. Okay. So as the triangles increase, any of the points will take on either the energy of force emanations. We call those things triangles in rotation. And according to the law of mutation, which is a very Geminian law, there will be shifts in the triangle as to which is the major point. Now, it probably starts out with the third aspect point being chief among them. Then there will be the second aspect point and finally the first aspect point. It's pretty much like our own life. The personality rules at first, and then not even the personality, just the vehicles of the personality rule. But finally, we get ourselves a personality. It rules for a long time. Then comes the period of soul rulership, and then the period of monadic rulership. Very, very long. Very short when it comes to being a human being, but very long when it comes to the whole journey on the way of higher evolution. So everything is in mutation, everything is in rotation, and it's all according to law, and we don't know those laws yet, but when we get to the point where we have all knowledge, at least of our local planet here, on the third sublevel of the atmic plane, we're going to know the cycles, you know, and then how long things last, and in this law of mutation, how we can understand the different points being major or minor. But, you know, that's a little bit ahead of us here. All we know is that it does exist. And I think we can just say, look, you know, none of us is going to start out as we reascend as the prodigal son. We're not going to start out with the monad being our major center. It is the personality for a long time that gets us into the shape where we're really ready to reascend. Then the soul carries on for five initiations as the major center in the triangle. And then the monad carries on for 6, 7, 8, 9, four more initiations. The monad is the really directing center. We might even say from the time of the fourth initiation, the monad is in charge. You know, you can say that because man comes into touch with his monad in a more direct way at the fourth initiation, because stuff is out of the way, like the causal body and so forth. So, yeah, I think, you know, what you're saying is it leads us into this consideration of the rotation in the triangle. Anything else there? Okay. Any other thoughts or questions or statements? Okay. Now, Tuya, would you like to do this? Whoop, she's gone. Something happened. Maybe not. No, there you are. So, Tuya, would you like to do this shortened triangles meditation, or do you want me to handle it? Okay. Not sure. Sometimes it's a little difficult to hear from one side of the house to the other. Okay. I'll tell you what, you know, basically it's going to be really brief. Because this is different from the morning meditation, which is much more practical and involves human beings. So, basic thing we have to do is to realize that the whole etheric body of the universe is a combination of squares, triangles, and circles. The higher you go, the more spherical it gets. And maybe by the time we enter the realm of a solar logos, we're pretty much in the realm of sphericity. Sacred planets, triangularization. Non-sacred planets, squares. So let's just try to expand our mind until we get this kind of image. So I wonder if I can kind of get that, because there's some beautiful things here. Here's an image, you know, that takes us from our own little group of triangles into the whole triangle network of this earth. And practically speaking, we're looking for about 100,000 triangles between people on different, you know, in different places and continents and hemispheres. And finally, you know, the Buddhas of activity in Shambhala, a great triangle, coming from the previous solar system and assisting Sanat Kumara under the law of sacrifice, which is the very first law of the soul. And, you know, stretching, now who's in the center of that triangle? It may, it's probably Sanat Kumara. We can visualize in our own triangles the Christ at the center. Probably, you know, it's a little pretentious, let's say, to put Sanat Kumara in the center of our personal triangles. But the Christ would be the Master, or the Christ, when we visualize our triangles and our own little triangle network, we can use the Christ, the image of, or our Master. And from Shambhala, where these three Buddhas of activity actually do surround Sanat Kumara in triangular form, let's just be aware that we can go into our solar system. I can just name some triangles. Just see if you kind of feel their quality, you know. Here's the triangle Mercury, Venus, Mars. Here's the triangle Mercury, Venus, Earth. Here's a triangle, Vulcan, Mercury, Venus. There's so many. I once did a analysis of all these triangles. It's somewhere here. And the triangle, you know, the three synthesizing planets, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, and a very important triangle. Then you can do it by ray, you know. Like there's a triangle that helps you take the second initiation. It's Venus, Jupiter, Neptune. Second ray being strong in all of them. So, you know, you compare, they're all in relationship with each other, and that's a bigger network of triangles than anything we're going to find right here on the Earth. You know, you can make triangles just to get the idea between globes in the planetary scheme, between chains in the planetary scheme, and then between the various planetary logoi and their planets. But then, you know, go out of that and get into solar deities, and the sun can make triangles with different planets. It's just very rich and complicated network. And then the sun can make triangles on its own level. Let's say our sun, the sun Sirius, and the star Procyon. That's our sun, the greater dog star, and the lesser dog star. All representing different chakras. We could really get into that. So is the complexity of it is more than we can handle, but the idea is that as you look out there and the beings increase in their power like this, diagram is filled with triangles way beyond the cosmic physical plane. So that's the thing. Realize in this little alignment, we are part of vast triangles networks extending throughout our local cosmos system, and then that will have triangular relationship with other cosmos systems and on and on. And our main thing, of course, is to line up our, well, our soul, our personality, and finally our monad. That's it. And on our planet, Shambhala, hierarchy and humanity. Those are the practical things close at hand, but we're studying a great science that applies to the whole universe. That's what we're doing. So, you know, in the morning, we made it really practical. You got these two other people you're working with. You're all functioning as soul-infused personalities. You say the great invocation. You think of the light and the love pouring through the triangle. You link into the triangle's network and beyond. Practical. And now in the science of triangles, we're going systemic and cosmic to try to understand these things. And when we finish this section, we'll start to look at specific triangles and what they could mean. If I give you the triangle Leo, Virgo, Aquarius, what are you going to make out of that? There's something to be made out of it. And I'll tell you what I think, and I think the Tibetan thinks this. Individual consciousness, Christ consciousness, group consciousness. Every triangle tells its story. And you're going to get more and more skillful at identifying what that story may be. So I'll tell you what, let's just close our meditation, or really more of an alignment, with the Great Invocation. And realize that, of course, there's a great triangle here of light, love, and will. And we can make other triangles out of it, too. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Oh. 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 And just one thought here. Don't you see the higher triangle hovering above the distributing center, which is, in this case, humanity? Wherever these points are, mind of God, heart of God, will of God, there are different places where they can be, but humanity is the distributing center in this particular triangle above the lower point. Okay, friends, we'll get this out to you on Makara as soon as we can. And if there's anybody that on staff who has any last thing to say, you certainly can.
This is Joe. I'll just ask you and Tuya to give us the details so we can get a solstice announcement out to people.
Yeah, okay. As I said before, it's going to be 2:45 GMT, and I'll try to, you know, get a little something to you in 2 days, and 2:45 in the afternoon, which is just 1 hour and 5 minutes before the actual solstice moment. And some of you, I think, will be working with the 2025 initiative. They also have a solstice moment because we all want to prepare for the festival week of the new group of world servers. And these solstice points are very good time to prepare. So whether we're working with the 2025 initiative, some of you have received on that, or whether you're working with us on our usual kind of broadcast at the cardinal points of the year, we do want to be thinking forward to the festival week of the new group of world servers, December 21st through December 28th, and to really put on the steam internally and externally, let people know about that and think about always strengthening the hands of the new group of world servers, always in the Arcane School final sort of question. It was, how can we better strengthen the hands of the members of the new group of world servers? So, you know, we're going to make it, I think, a very special time. There'll be groups all over the world doing their thing, and to a certain extent, they'll be in touch with each other as they do these things. So why not resolve to be part of it, okay? Resolve to be part of the story. And that, of course, this solstice thing will be a broadcast, not a webinar. It's going to be a broadcast with music and the usual thing, you know. So, and then about an hour and 5 minutes or so, or 10 minutes after we begin, we will have the solstice moment, the turning point. The turning point, the Cancer and Capricorn, the two turning points, and Aries and Libra, the two points of equilibrization. Okay, anybody, anything else on staff? Are we good? Anything else? I'll get that to you, Joe, as soon as, and let's see, Anne Veronica. Right, thank you, Anne Veronica. Thank you also. And, all right. We'll see you soon. And tomorrow morning, Reappearance of the Christ, broadcast, 5 a.m. GMT, and 8 o'clock in the morning here in Finland, and in the middle of the night for some places in the United States, and also South America. Just do what you can and be with us one way or another. Lots of love from both of us, from all of us, and we'll be seeing you soon. And bye for now. This will be posted before long on Makara. Okay? Bye-bye.